Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke narrates Jesus praying more than any other gospel writer. Jesus prays when he's being baptized. He prays just before he chooses disciples, all night in fact. He prays before he asks them about who people say that he is. Jesus would withdraw to deserted places to be by himself, to pray. He's constantly trying to get away from his hectic day-to-day ministry to pray, even sometimes taking along the disciples, only to be transfigured right in front of them at one point. Even when he talks, he regularly breaks off into prayer. It was part of his life and routines. He always had a strong sense of that relationship with the Father. Now, all those examples were early on in the gospel before today's text. But even throughout the rest of Luke's account, Jesus will contrast a Pharisee and a tax collector as they're praying. Not long thereafter, he'll find himself enraged by a house of prayer, a temple, being used for anything but prayer. Repeatedly, Jesus admonishes his disciples to pray. He prays before Peter denies him, that Peter's faith would, despite it all, remain strong and steadfast. Jesus even prays while dying on the cross that God forgive those responsible for his death. His very last words on the cross will be a prayer. Now, Jesus' teaching on prayer here in our text is matched by his teaching on prayer later through the example of a widow who will not stop pursuing an unjust judge as she seeks justice. How much more will God respond? Now, Jesus emphasizes their persistence in prayer. Today's text is about something different. Not persistence, but an utter shamelessness, an abandon in prayer. Now, you might be wondering why we don't hear more in our churches about Jesus' teaching on prayer, especially since it fills so many of Luke's pages. Now, some in our circles like to stress that prayer is not a sacrament. The only sacraments are baptism and the Lord's Supper, along with the saving word itself. And this is most certainly true. But maybe that leads us to neglect prayer. Jesus clearly did not. Neither did Martin Luther. He'd get up early in the morning to begin his day with several hours of prayer. So in today's text, Jesus slows things down to teach his disciples at length about how to pray, even giving them an example. We call it the Lord's Prayer, even though it's really intended for disciples, for us, as a disciple's prayer. Even more, he doesn't stop with the model prayer, but goes on to talk about the attitude one is to have in prayer. Jesus shares a short parable, one that's only here in Luke. And he presents it as a question. Who of you, or suppose one of you, could it be? And Jesus' question is about a problem that would have made a lot of sense in a first century Mediterranean world. No shops were open in the evening. Food was not as readily available as it is in our modern world. People bake enough bread for that day's needs. Now, some might bake bread for the whole week, in which case their neighbors would know. At the same time, if someone showed up, you were supposed to be a good host and try to help. This was a culture where people prized showing hospitality to their guests. The problem is that a guest has shown up so late in the night, and now his host needs to provide. A problem which soon becomes also his friends. Friends like that. Now, before we shake our heads at the extremes people go in this world to be good hosts, remember, Abraham offered hospitality to disguise strangers. So Jesus' brother James describes Abraham as a friend of God. What if this were an angel come to visit? Now, fortunately, our host has a trusty friend. He's not going to knock since it's late. To bang on the door of a one-room house would wake up the entire family. better just to call through the door. And he knows it's going to be a hard ask, even though they're friends. Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. Our host will not ask for more. It's enough just to ask for the bread, the basic level of subsistence. Give us this day our daily bread. And his neighbor can now share in honoring a guest. Now, Jesus' question effectively is, who of you has the nerve to do that? And maybe it's a soften the blow. This is a request for a loan of food and to serve an unexpected guest. He only asked for bread, nothing more, and no need to worry. The sleepy neighbor will get the loan repaid. Even more, the host explains that this guest has been on a very long journey before arriving, and the food stores are bare. Well, friend or not, the response is clear. Not even an open door. Not even a return greeting to the, quote, friend. Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything. The wooden or iron bar has already been placed for the rings on the door panels. Don't you realize that removing that would take some doing? It would be noisy? Awakening my children just inside the door here still sleeping? I mean, what was that old saying? Let sleeping dogs lie? And what about those sleeping children? I mean, you can just imagine the chaos that might ensue here in the middle of the night. And you wonder, did our, quote, friend maybe stumble over a few kids in the dark on his way to the door? Look, don't bother me. I can't help you. And how many in different ways did the neighbor just say no? Now, Jesus imagines a pretty blunt response. That's probably why he asked, who of you? The answer had been that no one would have been that rude to an emergency situation at the door. That would go against all the cultural expectations for showing hospitality. And the one who's made this emergency request is utterly shameless. I mean, this too is a rude man at the door, come in the middle of the night. That's why Jesus' expected answer is that no one would act this way. And as for anything about a hospitable friend, Jesus adds that even though he won't get up to give him anything, even though he's a friend, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. I mean, this guy had the nerve, the gall, to go yell through his friend's door in the middle of the night. And yet the duties of hospitality and honor will lead the groggy neighbor to open the door and supply what's needed. Daily bread, provided even at midnight. But if an irritated friend will respond to such a bold, rude request in the middle of the night, how much more will God? Jesus is clear. We have access to the Father, and God may be approached with confidence. So be shamelessly bold in your prayers. Of course, in a first century Middle Eastern world, no one had been so reluctant or slow to help. Such a slowness to respond would have brought shame to this household. But how much more will God help? God responds. So just go holler through those doors of heaven. We had a close friend of our family, an adopted grandmother to our kids. She kept a prayer journal and rise each day early in the morning and spend several hours working through each name in the journal. She'd look at the name and then offer up prayers on behalf of that person. Now, since she's gone home to glory, we've missed her prayers. All those labors on behalf of her loved ones. She boldly approached the throne of God each morning. And a lot of times, I know, she hollered. Jesus' teaching on prayer here is not done yet. The disciples are to ask. They are to seek. They are to knock continually. To ask the Father to engage in prayer again continually. We're to be engaged in prayer regularly. And as we do, God promises to provide. Why would we want to take advantage of that open access to the God of the universe? For each prayer that appeals to heaven, there will be an answer. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. God will supply in response to your requests. Unlike that neighbor late in the night where it's better just to call out than wake an entire family, Jesus says, go ahead. Knock on that door to the Father. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. And did you notice? Jesus says, everyone who asks receives. One need only ask. Now, these verses posed a serious problem for me as a young boy. I just turned 8 years old. I've been reading the Bible from cover to cover. When I got to the ask, and it will be given to you, I have been watching a lot of TV commercials. Many of my friends had what were called big wheels. Now, these three-wheelers were pretty popular back in the day. It had a really large wheel in the front that could give you some amazing speed on the road. Well, that year, they were advertising an alternative. The Cheetah didn't have as big a wheel, but it sure had a sleek design. You'd look totally cool gliding down the road. And didn't Jesus say that if you ask, you will get? I had absolute confidence in the Lord, especially with Christmas just around the corner. I prayed with all seriousness for a cheetah. Sure, the Lord would be providing. Christmas came and went, but no cheetah. What happened? Not even any hint of a cheetah on the horizon. This all presented a serious crisis of faith for me. Why hadn't I received as God promised? But notice, the passage never said you'll be getting exactly what you asked for, just that God will be graciously supplying according to the request. And the point is that God wants to respond to our prayers and will in an appropriate manner. But we do not get to dictate to God what is best for us. As the Lord responds to these requests, he will not be providing bad gifts to his children. Jesus explains, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? I mean, after all, scorpions do roll themselves in egg-like balls. Although, I don't think that a cheetah would qualify as a scorpion. I mean, just saying. I mean, he did say, be shameless. Jesus continues. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? To give a snake in response to a request for a fish or a scorpion in response to a request for an egg, well, that's just plain cruel. Human parents, even the evil ones, are usually willing to give at least the essentials to their children. How much more will a good and gracious Heavenly Father? Now, the best gift of all is the Holy Spirit, God's own presence with us. We enjoy an intimacy with God. He gives us the ability to approach him confidently. I mean, it's not a blank check, but God promises that our needs will be met. Luke will talk about the Spirit of God more than any other gospel writer, but that's a story for another day. The point here is that this is a wonderful gift of the Heavenly Father for his children. The Lord is always right there with us. Why wouldn't we be breaking into prayer with the Spirit always right there? We can approach the Father with boldness in prayer, and he promises to answer. Why wouldn't we be taking advantage of that? And years ago, when I was part of a Christian group on my college's campus, I was for a time the small group leader coordinator. Now, we want everyone in our small groups to learn about the importance of prayer. So we had people keep a prayer journal, a daily list of the requests they'd made to God. Well, in the months that followed, people would comment in amazement about how their prayers had been answered. It encouraged them to pray even more diligently, knowing that God is listening and answering, a lot like how he always answered our family friend and prayer warrior. I dare you to try it. Keep a prayer journal. Like Jesus, we make prayer a regular part of our lives, starting with our daily devotions. So to get back to that little boy with his crisis of faith, no, he didn't get to ride a cheetah at Christmas. But not long thereafter, as soon as the weather warmed up, he did learn how to ride a bike. Answered prayer. A good and gracious Heavenly Father who always listens and responds. Amen.